Renning's office was located not too far outside the prison gates. We entered a small outer office, where a trusty man named Harold Warner sat at a desk shuffling through stacks of papers. A sign above the second door in the far wall read, "Private." Halsey rapped firmly on the thick wood.
"Come in."
Halsey motioned me inside first, but as I started to slip past him, he grabbed my arm.
"Now you mind your manners in there, Latham, or I'll hand you over to Walsh myself."
"Yes, boss."
Thomas Renning was an ex-Arizona Ranger who'd been appointed to the position of superintendent only a few months earlier. There was no welcome in the warden's eyes as I was ushered inside. Hearing the door close behind me, I knew I was on my own. There was a second man in the room, a burly guy deep into his 50s by then, with thinning gray hair, thick eyebrows, and a heavy gut. His cheeks and nose were finely threaded with broken capillaries, and there was a watery weakness to his eyes that I recognized. Over the years, I'd met a lot of men with too much fondness for the bottle, but I never expected Delmar Buckman to be one of them.
"Hello, Latham. Been making new friends?"
Oh, I had more than a few remarks I would have liked to have shot right back at that old bastard. But I'd been a guest of the territory long enough by then to know when to keep my lips sealed. I turned to Renning.
"Chief Halsey said you wanted to see me, sir."
"That's correct."
Renning tipped his head toward Buckman.
"You know Acting Deputy Buckman?"
"Yes, sir."
"He knows I'm the one put him here."
Buckman grinned.
"Like a rat to a trap, ain't that right, champ?"
"Refrain yourself, Mr. Buckman. Prisoner Latham is no longer in your charge."
The smile slid off Buckman's face.
"Well, he might soon be again."
Renning opened a folder on his desk.
"You've already served a third of your sentence here, Latham. According to both your records and Chief Halsey's assertion, you've been, overall, a fairly disciplined inmate. If I were a betting man, I'd say your chances of getting out early are quite good. Possibly even before we make the move to Florence."
He looked up, eyeing the cuts and bruises Tiny Evans had planted around my face.
"Assuming you can continue to stay out of trouble." "I want you to understand, Latham, that you are under no obligation to accept Mr. Buckman's offer. If you would prefer to remain here and finish out your sentence, you may do so. Is that clear?"
I nodded like it was, like I knew what the hell he was talking about.
"You got 5 minutes, Buckman."
Rising effortlessly, Renning stepped around his desk and left the room. I stayed where I was, as rigid as a soldier under inspection. Buckman shuffled behind the desk to commandeer the warden's chair. Opening a top drawer, like he already knew what he'd find inside, he took out a slim Cuban panatella and bit off the tip, then placed the cigar in his mouth. With a match lifted from a little iron box atop the desk, he calmly lit his pilfered smoke, and then leaned back to jet a slim blue cloud toward the ceiling.
"How they treating you in here, Latham? Teaching you some manners anyway, huh?"
I waited patiently, and it wasn't long before I could tell my silence was starting to aggravate him. I didn't like Buckman, for reasons that had nothing to do with him being the cop who'd arrested me in Morales in 03. Oh, but I guess I'm getting ahead of myself again.
"I hope you take my offer, Latham. I'd surely like to finish the training they started on you here."
"Just what offer is that, Buckman?"
"I've got a proposition for you."
He reached into his jacket and pulled out an ivory-colored envelope that he tossed casually across the desk in my direction.
"Go ahead, take a peek."
I hesitated only briefly, then picked up the envelope. There was a single sheet of paper inside marked with the official seal of the Territory of Arizona at the top. I scanned the document, noted the governor's signature at the bottom, and a line next to it for a second signature. Tapped above the second line was the name of Delmar C. Buckman, followed by the title, Acting Deputy Sheriff, Pima County.
"Play your cards right, champ, and that's your punch out of here."
My gaze drifted back up the page to a title printed in all caps, Document of Pardon.
"Interested?"
I nodded cautiously, returned the paper to the envelope, then the envelope to the desktop.
"What do I have to do to earn it?"
"I got a party of men wants to go into Mexico without being recognized. What they call incognito. You know what that means?"
"I know what it means. Where does this party of yours want to go?"
"Savannah."
"My old stomping grounds."
"Yeah."
"You could take a train to Tres Pinos. It's a 5-hour ride from there to Savannah. You could be there and back in 3 days.
A train ain't an option. We're going in the back way.
I couldn't help smiling at that.
Through the Paramus?
Paramus, by the way, means Badlands, or, more correctly, Barren Plains. Although the Paramus that Buckman wanted to take his party through were anything but flat.
You figure you can find your way?
I could use you, Latham, but I sure as hell don't need you. I could walk out of here right now and we'd still make it. Only difference would be that you'd still be locked away in here like a monkey in a cage, spending the next 8 years of your life thinking about what a fool you were to turn down my offer.
He had a point there, but he was wrong if he thought he could lead a party of men through those desert lands south of Morales without a guide.
You couldn't carry enough water for you and your men. You've got to know the water holes, and those are mighty few and hard to find.
It can be done.
Not by white men, it can't.
Buckman's eyes turned flinty, his fingers tightening around the cigar as it jutted out from his fist.
If you ain't interested, Latham, say the word.
I held his gaze a moment longer, then glanced at the pale envelope sitting on top of Renning's desk.
No, I'm interested. Tell me the rest of it.
Buckman leaned back in his chair, his grip relaxing around the Pinatella.
6 days ago, a train on its way to Hermosillo was stopped by bandits. 7 Americans were taken off. 4 of them were shot on the spot, but a woman and her 2 kids were taken away. Now, here's the kicker. On the very same day them 3 were pulled off that train, her husband gets a proposal from a bandit chief named Chito Soto that ain't nothing but a ransom demand wrapped in fancy words. This Soto claims he's a major in something called an Army of Liberation. He wants the ransom delivered to Savannah by May 16th, which is 8 days from today. They're threatening to start carving on them kids on the 17th if they don't get the ransom on time.
You keep saying ransom instead of money.
That part of the deal doesn't concern you. Listen, we're running out of time here, Latham. You know that country better than any other white man in the territory. You can get us down there in time to save that woman and those kids.
And if I do, I get the pardon?
That's the long and short of it. Edward Davenport, he's the gal's husband. He packs a lot of sway around here, and he's got some pretty good friends up at the Capitol, too. He's managed to wrangle you a full pardon on the condition that you cooperate fully. But if you ain't already noticed, that paper is one signature shy of being worth anything more than paper for the privy.
Yours.
That's right. It's a stipulation I insisted on. You help us get that woman and them kids out of there, and I'll add that final signature. You'll be a free man to go wherever you want. But I'll warn you right now. If you double-cross us, Davenport's vowed to post a $5,000 reward on your head, along with a description sent to every newspaper between New York and San Francisco, London to Johannesburg. There ain't gonna be nowhere in this country or any other that you'd be safe in after that. Savvy?